A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. You can give us a call with your questions at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. We do have a listener who wanted to chime in on lemon cucumbers. They say they've never had a bitter lemon cucumber, but they're not had good pickles from them. They're not very excited about pickling them. And they've had some cross-pollinate with watermelon growing close by. They were actually striped and very sweet, and they would recommend that.
Huh.
Okay, cross-pollination watermelon.
They probably was something else. I mean, crossing a cucumber and a watermelon is like trying to mix a gorilla and a squirrel a little bit. It doesn't work.
Okay, that image is just, we're going to leave it there.
Okay.
You can't cross-pollinate them?
Well, watermelons are in a different genus, so it probably cross-pollinated with another cucumber or something in the same few species of the cucumber. Because the watermelons are distantly enough related, can't say it wouldn't happen, but it would be very hard because they're actually a little more closely related than a squirrel and a gorilla, but they're distant enough.
But green-striped?
Yeah.
Very sweet.
Is probably crossed with another cucumber and the seeds came up and that's what they got. And the other thing with them is when, let's say you have a cantaloupe and a Crenshaw melon, which are the same species, you can cross-pollinate and then the seeds will come up with something in between the two. It doesn't impact the fruit the year that it was cross-pollinated. If you cross that, let's say you get a male flower from a Crenshaw, and then you put it into a cantaloupe. The cantaloupe's genetically, the mother plant's the same. It's the seeds that are going to be genetically different because that's where the meiosis and mitosis, all that takes place with the genetic mixing. And so when you plant those seeds the next year is when you get the funny looking melons. And so I suspect what happened was if they saved the seed that it was cross-pollinated by another cucumber and the genetic mix came up is what it was.
All right.
So we didn't have like a gorilla with a squirrel head.
Thank you.
So,
and I appreciate them chiming in. And it's always good to know because if people are planning to use them as pickles, might not be the best, you know, cucumber
for pickling. Yeah, I've not personally tried it. And I always love this personal experience because, you know, the publication will say, oh, you can pickle these, but somebody's tried it and it didn't work out well for them.
It's not as good.
Yeah, it's not as good. And it's one of those things you have to play with. And
be aware.
It's great.
Might not be as good. So the person who wanted to know how to trim azaleas was actually they wanted to know how to trim zinnias, and there is a big difference. So how do you trim zinnias?
Zinnias, you just deadhead them.
Right.
When they start to slow down, cut the dead flower heads off as soon as you see them and let them regenerate.
How long will they go into the season?
Zinnias will bloom right into late September.
Okay. Gus is on the line in Camas Valley. Good morning, Gus. What is your question?
I've got 13 river birches, and they were not doing well, and you suggested putting more water with a ring around, and that has worked really well. They've done a lot better. However, I do definitely have some iron chlorosis problems with them, and I've read where if you use elemental sulfur to decrease the pH, that might release some of the iron in the soil, and I'm wondering How much sulfur should I use?
Well, what you might need to do, the elemental sulfur may help a bit, but as it breaks down, and there will be instructions on the bag how much to put, and you don't just dump it right around the trunk. You get it under the canopy of the tree, and you would spread that out with a fertilizer spreader. But what will happen is that little pellet of granular sulfur starts to break down in the soil and it's water soluble, it quickly forms a weak sulfuric acid solution that's then buffered out. And so if you wanted to use that method, you'd probably want to get a bulb drill and mix elemental sulfur one-to-one with something like ironite and use that bulb drill to pull out those columns and fill up the columns with that mix and do 15 or 20 of those, probably a foot to 18 inches deep around the tree, and then just fill them up and cover them up. That way, when the water gets into that column, it stays in solution longer and frees up iron more readily than what just spreading it under the tree would do. Your other option would be to get a chelated iron like Miller Ferra Plus, and then just mix that up in 5-gallon buckets and irrigate the tree in early spring as soon as your snow melts off.
Yeah, I see. Okay. All right.
All right, Gus.
You give that a shot.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says, if they divide variegated iris in the early spring, will they bloom that same spring?
No, they won't. They will probably bloom the next year.
Okay.
Now, as they're dividing that, they need to get some to you.
I know. I really want a variegated iris, and I haven't been able to find one.
It may be a little late in the season, but they're quite available for a good period of the
growing season.
I'll
have to try in the spring.
Yeah.
Nexus.
In fact, if anybody knows of local garden centers that have variegated iris in the Salt Lake area, shoot us a text or a call.
Thank you so much. Next listener, you know that I really want one of those plants after seeing it in our video. Next listener is Alex in East Mill Creek. He says he needs to move a weeping plum. It's 1 1/4 inch in diameter, 8 foot tall, to another location in the yard. Is late fall a good time to do so? And if so, should he wait till the leaves fall off?
Let the leaves fall off. And if they fall off and we're still a little bit warm, I would even give it until we were consistently 50 degrees or below, but the ground isn't frozen. So there's kind of a week or two period of time in there. And so we need to be cooling down, and then that's when he would want to move it.
Okay. Let's go back to our phone lines. CJ is in Syracuse. Good morning. What is your question?
Yes, I have a few cottonwood trees with a large exposed roots above the ground. What do I do with those?
If you can, let them be. That's what cottonwoods do. They're such large trees that they need those roots. They're called buttress roots to support the tree so it doesn't blow over. And so if there's some that are really a nuisance or even a danger, you might be able to remove some of them. But you need to leave as many intact as you can, or else it will really impact the health of the tree.
Can you put dirt around them to go
for that? No, you will start to unintentionally mess with the oxygen in the soil that those roots need, and the roots will just surface after a few years, will just surface right through the dirt. If they're in the lawn, what I've told people to do is just to remove the grass and make a ring wide enough that most of the nuisance from the roots are inside that ring where the grass is not, and they might be able to put some ground cover or something in there.
Yeah, but we're talking like some of them are like 10 feet or so. We're talking big.
So. Yep. Yeah, and that's just that's why I love cottonwoods for the shade they provide. But when people call into the show, that's one thing I always try to caution them about, is that they're such massive trees that they need those buttress roots. And over time, they're going to become a nuisance for mowing and become a tripping hazard.
Right. Okay. So it's just we're stuck with it. So. Okay.
Right. CJ, thanks so much for your call this morning. And the number to call, 801-575-8255. Before we take a break, when is the best time for transplanting miniature iris?
Almost any time of the year, but late fall, early spring, late August, there's a lot of times you can do it. And so what I would do is look up a fact sheet on dividing iris and just follow the instructions and get it done. People oftentimes will do it when in the fall or after they're done blooming in the spring to try to maximize the amount of time they have to root out to bloom the next year.
All right. You can text us at 57500. The phone lines are open, 801-575-8255.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you. Number to call, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Next listener, Ton, says, how can they propagate a cutting from an apple tree? And they have a good reason for asking. Their grandmother had this amazing apple tree. It makes great pies, but they don't know what kind of apple it is. It just sprung up decades ago. And they want to know if they can take a cutting and grow it in their own yard.
They definitely can. They will want to wait for winter, you know, around February. Mm-hmm. And the tree will have what's called sucker sprouts that come up in the middle of the canopy and get tall.
Yes.
And those are going to be what they use for grafting. But what I would really recommend doing is getting those water sprouts that are about pencil width and cutting them to about the length of a pencil. So they have 10 or 15 of them mm-hmm. from the tree, but they'll do this in February. Then wrap them in wet paper towels and put them in a Ziploc in the fridge. They'll want to watch it. They may have to wash them once a week, but leave them in the fridge. But then sign up for a grafting class from USU Extension or from like Conservation Garden Park. I'm not sure what city they're in, but Mike Pace and Mike Karen offer grafting classes from Logan down to Lehigh. And you can bring those rootstocks, or not rootstocks, but the scion, what was called scion wood, your cut wood that mm-hmm. you did with you. And they have rootstocks there and you can graft four or five of them up. And chances are three or four of those will take. But you can watch videos on doing this. But I think the problem is finding your own apple rootstocks. And it's just easier to have someone walk you through it. And to where USU and Conservation Garden Park has done this in the past, have rootstocks available that you can just buy a few of the extra if you want. That's going to be the easiest route.
All right. Mary is on the line in Bountiful. Good morning, Mary. What is your question?
Good morning. I'm calling about tomatoes. I planted just two tomato plants, and they both started very well. One was Early Girl. The other one was Celebrity. But I had a problem with Early Girl, not because of its variety, but the leaves didn't look too good. And then the tomatoes were small, and underneath almost every tomato, they were dark and black. So I eventually pulled out that plant, and I'm wondering next year if I plant it in that same spot, would that be a disease that it had, you think, or would it be dangerous to plant in that same area?
Well, you don't want to put tomatoes back there if you can help it, just because you want to rotate. But I think what you were seeing is actually a condition called blossom end rot, to where sporadic watering will cause tomatoes to do that. And so if those tomatoes dried out and then were watered in, and so they were really wet and then dried out, that can cause that, and also sporadic temperatures. And so if it was blossom end rot, if you left that plant in there, it may have moderated on its own.
I see. So it may not be a disease. But
just environmental conditions.
Yeah, and it was irrigation water with a sprinkler. And also, we could only water 2 days a week. Now we can water three. So
yeah.
That could cause them, huh? So it may not have been a disease then.
No, I don't think it was. I think it was just environmental conditions to where the tomatoes were drying out and then getting wet. And so you can help remedy that if you have like grass mulch or bark mulch around the base to help keep the soil more evenly moist.
Oh, okay. I'll do that then.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Mary, for your call this morning. Ton, we have just a minute before the top of the hour news. One of the next listeners says they saw a bunch of maple trees at a local nursery. They all had sunset in the name, and they're wondering if urban sunset or are these good trees for our area?
Well, if they are urban sunset, crimson sunset, Norwegian sunset, Pacific sunset, all of those are going to be good trees. They need to look at the Latin name because it should say the Latin name is Acer, like the old computer brand, A-C-E-R, and then it should have an X, and then probably Platanoides, but they're a hybrid. There are other sunset maples that are Acer rubrum that are not suitable, so they need to find that Acer truncatum, the Platanoides truncatum cross. I apologize for all these Latin names, but they need to look it up on their phone to make sure it's that Platanoides truncatum cross.
All right. We'll be back with more on the KSL Greenhouse. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500, back following the news.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.